If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. Amen. I want to thank you for being here with us today. And we're believing God to bless you. Those of you that are fathers, I hope you leave here challenged. Those of you that one day may become a father, I hope you leave challenged. Those of you that's not fathers, I hope you leave challenged. Amen. I do, if you've noticed in the 7 years I've been here on special days, I usually preach sermons that are garnered toward special days. And I want to talk to you this morning about Father's Day, the blessing. Genesis chapter 27, verse 25. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine and drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be every one that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing Jacob, and gave the end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had savory meat, brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that the soul may be blessed me." And Isaac the father said to him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm the son, your firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would touch this house and minister to us with your power, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Do y'all remember Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon? Ain't been that long ago. Some of y'all just need to learn to read some good reading out of a newspaper. It won't make you feel bad. If any of y'all, if you've ever been around me much, you understand the funny papers is a part of the paper I'll read first. Lord, I mean, you do. You can't beat BC or Born Loser. But in Calvin and Hobbes, one time Calvin was in school and he threw his hand up and he said, "Teacher." His teacher's name was Miss Wormwood. She said, "You have a question, Calvin?" He said, "Yes. What assurance do I have that this education is adequately preparing me for the 21st century?" Waxing eloquent, he stood up, continued, "I'm getting the skills I need to compete effectively in a tough global economy." And dramatically ending the speech with raised clenched fists, he proclaimed, "I want a high-paying job when I get out of here. I want opportunity. I want success." Miss Wormwood walked back, tapped the table with her pointer, and she said, "Young man, if you want all that, you got to work harder, because you only get out of this what you put in it." He said, "Oh, forget it then." Thankfully, not every child is like Calvin. Listen to this little poem. To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside the chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. As I gathered my arms, the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say, "Four simple words I shan't forget, for words that made me pray." They turned a mirror on my soul. On secrets no one knew. They startled me. I heard them yet. He said, I want to be like you. Every dad in this house needs to realize that's where your kids are. They want to be like you. There's a couple of you that I'm going to make sure the child takes after somebody else. No. No one in particular, but fatherhood has changed over the years. I heard about a father being asked who was in charge of the house. He said, well, my wife is over the kids. The kids are over the dog and cat. And I can say anything I want to go fish. Fatherhood may have changed in our society in recent years, but I still don't think God's perception of what the father is to be and do has changed. This morning, I want us to look at the 27th chapter of Genesis and get an idea of this father and what goes on as he not only meets his child, but he blesses his children. As you remember, Isaac and Rebekah had twins. Esau and Jacob were actually twins, but Esau was firstborn. Jacob came with him. Esau was the outdoorsman. He was more of a daddy's boy. He liked to hunt and fish, and do all kind of manly things. Jacob was mama's boy. He kind of hung around the house and learned how to sew and cook. I know some of y'all sitting there said, preacher, you can't prove that. Yes, I can. He made his son a coat. Everybody wanted it. He learned how to sew somewhere. Because if it had been sewn by me, it wouldn't have mattered how many colors and where that garment came from. They'd be going, man, did you see that coat that kid had on? His family had been borrowing for a long time. But his coat was so fine, everybody wanted it. Not only that, if you read the Bible, you understand something. I don't know about alabaster, but this guy was 67 years old before he had his first date. And in Buell, that's a mama's boy. Read your Bible. He was 67 years old when he went out on his first date. Amen. That's a mama's boy. And so Jacob one day calls his son. And in the 27th chapter, the 2nd through the 4th verse, he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may be blessed there before I die. Esau goes out to get some meat because dad says, hey, you get me and feed me what I like, I'm going to bless you. Now, you know how much Esau was like his daddy? He got so hungry, he sold his birthright for a bowl of peas earlier. That's why Jacob wasn't totally wrong in getting the birthright, even though he kept the family tradition of lying. Hello? I was talking to somebody last night and said, what are you preaching on? I said, it's kind of hard to find an old man in the Bible to use for a father. There's all heathens. I mean, Abraham lied. Isaac lied. Jacob, just his name Jacob simply means liar, supplanter, deceiver. He had 11 boys that could tell some whoppers. Hello? I mean, they even faked their little brother's death and act like he got killed, come back and lay it all over the daddy. Just lied to him big time. Not yet. It's in your Bible. Don't look at me like you've never read that. It was a family tradition because, you know, educated preachers said no such thing as generational curses. So I'm not going to fool with you if you're educated and you want to get upset about generational curses, but for every generation they've been passing on. Abraham started lying. I know somebody said, when did Abraham lie? They came to him, was going to kill him for his wife, and he said, that's not my wife, that's my sister, take her. Dude got in a bind, he lied to save his own skin. Hello? And so all of a sudden we got a young man, he's wanting peas. Now I like peas. Fresh peas, cornbread, a little onion. I mean, I'm happy. I can make a meal out of that. But I ain't going to sell everything I got for a bowl of peas. I'll go dig a hole or something and buy me some peas before I sell everything out for it. But Jacob cooked lentils, which is peas, and he took a bowl of lentils and said, all right, give me your birthright. He said, you can have it. Because you see, Esau could care less about a relationship with God. The only reason he wanted the money was because the firstborn who got blessed by the daddy would be then considered the elder of the house and would get double of the inheritance everybody else got. And he wanted the money, he wanted the cattle, he wanted the goats, he wanted the camels, because Esau was a lazy hound that didn't want to work and he needed daddy's money so he wouldn't have to go get a job. On the other hand, Jacob wanted that connection to God because he wanted more to be with God than he wanted the camels and the goats, because he could care less about the camels and the goats. He just wanted to be connected to God. And Rebekah helps him. Now, anybody with any sense knows there ain't a boy around can cook like his mama. Hello? Esau, he goes out to catch just as soon as he's gone. Rebekah goes against Jacob, said, this is our chance. I'm going to show you how to get the blessing, son. We're going to make you look and smell like your brother. I'm going to cook you some venison. I know how your daddy likes it, the spices he needs and the gravy he wants. And we're going to take this deer in there and you're going to feed him. He's going to bless you and you're going to be blessed because you're my boy. She taught him things men should never know, like how to deceive other men. Nod your head, guys. Don't sit there like, yeah, my wife don't do that to me. Phooey. Every one of y'all's done stuff in your life you had no intention of doing, but the woman got you to do it without ever asking. Nod your head. You know what I'm talking about? You're a good father. You're a great provider. You be getting out you put tools and start tearing stuff down. You ain't even know what you're doing. You're just going to do something. Say, preacher, that ain't the way it works. God's the same way. You really want to get God's attention? God, you're a great God. You're my provider. You're awesome. Oh, you're the river of the desert. You're the hiding place from the storm. God's up there going, I don't know what I'm fixing to do, but we finna do something for that guy. Amen. Glory. And all of a sudden he goes in and he brings the food. I'm messing her up in the back because I'm skipping this, just giving it to you the way I got it. But it's in that 27th chapter. And he goes into his dad and his dad said, who are you? He said, I'm your oldest son. Technically, he ain't lying. They're twins. A slight technicality is twins don't come out at the same time. Esau came out first. But they were the same age. He said, come over here and let me feel you. And he reaches over, touches him, and mom has figured that out. So she's got lambskin on him so he'll have hair like his brother. And then he smells him and he says, ooh, yeah, you him. Lord. The Bible said this in the 23rd verse, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Amen. He eats the venison, it's great. He thinks he's got the right boy, and he blessed him. He did not recognize him for his hands and his hair that his brother had. The blessing was given. Genesis 27:27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of the remnant and blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Guys, would you like it for your daddy to look at you and go, yeah, man, you smell like a field. Lord, that'd really make you happy, wouldn't it? But what he's saying is you smell like something God put his hand on. You are blessed, and you're going to be blessed. Could you say amen? He said, therefore, God give thee the dew of the heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, and be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. After he received the blessing of the father, Jacob leaves. Shortly after he leaves, Esau shows up with another plate of venison. Now, if it'd been me, I'd have just ate the venison, blessed him too. He's like some of y'all, just because he's eating, I'm full. I ain't never been full. My teeth have always gotten, the jaws got a little tired and I've had to rest, but I ain't never been full in my life. But he turned around and said, who are you? He said, I'm your son Esau. He said, well, who was here before? Because I done blessed him and he got your blessing. He said, well, bless me too. He said, well, there ain't but one blessing in this household, and I'm sorry, I'll pray for you, but you can't get the blessing. He's got it. You said, now, preacher, you really believe that came to pass? I see Esau. Jacob's gone to live with Laban. Let's face it, Jacob was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He goes to his uncle Laban to meet a woman, pure redneck. He goes to his uncle's house to find a wife. He falls in love with one, works 7 years to get her, and marries the wrong woman. How dumb you got to be. Now he's got to work another 7 years to get the one he wants. But the whole time he's there, God's blessing him. His herds are growing. His numbers are growing. His finances are growing. And finally he decides, I'm going home. Laban said, you ain't going nowhere. My two girls and all them youngins, they stay in here. So he slips out and takes them with him. Now he's got a problem. Laban's chasing him. And Esau's on the other side of the river going, hot dog, he's coming home. I kill him, I'm the head of the house. Hello? He come to a place where he had to use that connection, and he prayed to God, and God started moving. I can't tell you the whole story. You can read it, but I believe it happened the same way with both. Laban's chasing him, and all of a sudden an angel of God comes into his tent and said, leave the kid alone. I'm taking care of him and his family. Don't worry about it. He said, well, how you know that happened? Because Esau comes riding up, jumps off his camel, runs up to him, and Jacob's standing there, leg broke because he's wrestling with an angel and got messed up. Read your Bible. He drugged that leg the rest of his life. He's leaning on his staff, trying to figure out what he's going to do. Here comes Esau, and he's saying, oh, I can't even move to keep him from killing me. And Esau runs up and said, brother, it's good to have you home. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking about? He said, last night I was in a tent. Angel of God come in and said, I wasn't to touch a hair on your head. If you that blessed, I just want to live in your house. You are my brother. And he bows in front of him, just like the blessing said, your mother's son will bow in front of you. Amen. Glory. And the next thing you know, Jacob is blessed. His herds are growing. His family's growing. He ends up with 12 boys. Hello? Next thing you know, one of them has a dream. Said, hey, guys. I know y'all don't like me, but it's coming today. Y'all gonna bow in front of me. That's the worst thing the youngest kid in a family can tell his older brothers. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. That's exactly how it happened. Took 23 years for that dream to come true, but suddenly there's his brothers kneeling in front of him, and all he had to done was say, kill him, and then everyone died because he was the second ruler of the most powerful kingdom in the world. But you know what he said? He said, you meant it for evil, but the whole time God's been doing good, because I had to go through everything I went through because my father was blessed by his father and said every nation was going to bow before him, and I was put here because when the famine hit, God had to take care of dad, and I'm in charge of the food to take care of one of you. Go get them and bring them here. We're going to have a big time. Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, that's exactly how it happened. God gave the blessing and let it go. Could you say amen? Now, I want to share with you four ingredients of Isaac's blessing that make Jacob or Isaac a great father. Number one, the first ingredient was a meaningful touch. Notice the 22nd verse. Jacob went close to his father, Isaac, and he touched him. 26th verse, then the father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. Now, this is not an isolated instance of scripture. Almost every time a blessing was bestowed in the Hebrew, there was contact made with a person. In the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus tells the people, bring the little children to come unto me. They set them in his lap. He prayed for them, and he blessed them. And he understood what he was doing. Jesus knew exactly that coming in contact with them was going to bless them. It is important to do this in our home. When children are very small, you can't communicate love with words because they don't understand words, but they understand contact. They understand being held. They understand touch. They understand what's going on when they feel safe, when somebody wraps their arms around them. Hey, man, you say, preacher, you're crazy. Jacob was 40 years old when Isaac touched and kissed him to convey the blessing. No matter the age, personal contact, handshake, hug, kiss, embrace is important in a family. So the first ingredient is a meaningful touch. Now my kids, I touched them meaningfully several times. Some of them was loving. Some of them was correctional. But I bet if you asked them, those kids will never tell you that I ever beat them or whipped them, as we call it, without letting them know I loved them. I wasn't doing it because I didn't like them. Second ingredient. This is going to go fast. So y'all ain't got to worry. I got 2 minutes. Words of affection and love. The second ingredient of that. Look at the 27th verse. Ah, the smell of my son. It's like the smell of a field. That don't sound right. Isaac is an outdoorsman. He's going to talk in things he understands. So he's going to pair his son to something that he has smelt before. And just to be honest with you, if you've ever been out in the woods right after it rains and you walk through that woods and suddenly you smell all the different smells of the trees coming together with the coolness of the breeze blowing off of that wet ground, that is something that is to behold. I had a preacher one time preaching at Buell. He talked about, we went out on the veranda after church. Somebody said, what's a veranda? I said, it's a back porch. He was talking about hearing, smelling the new mown hay. That is awesome. So some people will smell things like that. That's more important to them than Chanel number 5. I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. Our French perfume, it costs a fortune. Some things just smell better because it's something you're used to. And so he gave him a great compliment because he was trying to make him understand his positive message. I'm communicating to you. I love you. You see, too often parents are quick to criticize and remind children of their mistakes. You dummy. Why'd you do that? Do you realize if you call your child stupid long enough, they will be? Well, that's ridiculous. No, you create in them the environment that makes them who they are. And if you put in them that they're too dumb to do stuff, they'll figure it out and they won't try to do anything and they'll be that dumb. Why you think our government likes folks using cell phones? They can't remember their own name without hitting a button, pulling it up. It's part of the dumbing down of America. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Really? How many of you can quote me somebody's cell number without having to look in your cell phone to give it to me? Very few can, because most people, oh, well, let me look it up. Because we don't use our brains anymore. You want to have some fun? Walk in McDonald's and order a hamburger with cheese on it and watch them. I've done that, and they'll be looking for the button. What do I punch to put cheese on a hamburger? And the manager will go, hit cheeseburger. They can't process. Really want to have fun? Wait till they've rung it up and say it's $8.32. Hand them a 10 and 32 cents and watch them go, Now, if you give it to them too quick, they'll punch in 10, 32, and they'll subtract it for them. If you wait till they've done that, it just messes them up because they can't figure out how to put 32 cents in and give you a dollar. Say, preacher, what's this got to do with anything? Because we're telling our kids, you're not smart enough to do this stuff. You're not smart enough to make it. If you tell their kids they're smart enough, some of them can figure it out. I know there are some people that no matter how much help you give them, they ain't going to be that intelligent. Brad's over here patting hold, and I don't know what that means. But somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. You ever heard the story of the chief of a tribe in Hawaii? He had four daughters. Three of them were beautiful. He got great dowries for them. He had one daughter who was uglier than mud. She was fat, ugly. Nobody wanted her. He was wanting to give somebody money to take her. And a dude come from another island, walked up, looked at the girl, went over to the daddy and said, I'll give you 38 cows for her. He said, you got her, buddy. He gave her 38 cows, left with a woman. A year later, she returns. She's beautiful. Everybody on the island's about to go crazy. The chief goes up to the guy and says, what did you do to my daughter? He said, I treat her like 38 cow wife. She becomes one. Glory. You treat your kids like somebody, they'll become somebody. But they've got to have those words of affection and love. Third ingredients, and I'm hurrying. There ain't but 12 more. No, he's only four. The third ingredient's the blessing with assuring them the value. Notice what Isaac says in verse 28. May God give you the heaven's dew and earth's riches and abundant grain and new wine. He's saying you're special. So God's going to treat you special. He's going to give to you because you are somebody. You are someone. Church, everybody in this building, if you're born again, you ought to realize I'm part of the family. I am somebody. I don't have to take a back seat to anybody. This timidity that hits us, sometimes, well, I'm not worthy. Well, if you think you're not worthy, you're not. Some of us need to be like John Kennedy, little John, when his daddy was president. You younger kids ain't going to have a clue unless you've seen on TV. Daddy's on television, national television, sitting at his desk, and his four-year-old son comes walking in. One of the guards stopped him and said, son, your daddy's busy. He said, you better get your hands off me. My daddy owns this place. He goes in, crawls up in his lap, and starts drawing on the notebook pad, and he just starts laughing. He said, well, this is my son. Y'all want me to run him off? I'm not going to. And he lets him sit there and draw while he continues to address the nation from his desk in the White House. Amen. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of us need to realize that's my daddy's son. He owns this place. I got a right to whatever God wants me to have in this world. And that's what Isaac was trying to convey to him. You are somebody. You're worth something. Amen. It's not just words. We teach in a number of ways. A lot of times when a child comes, we're so busy, we don't have time to be with them. But we need to take time. So when a child comes to talk to you, turn the stupid TV off and put that stupid phone away. Take their phone away and talk to them. I said, oh, they'll go crazy. Yeah, maybe they need to be crazy for a while. Hello? Take time. Communicate value, worth. Make them understand God gave you to us. And whenever you have something you need, talk about it. I'm here to listen. The fourth ingredient was picturing a glorious future. Isaac tells in the 29th verse, may nations serve you and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mothers bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those that bless you be blessed. Isaac's helping him raise his sights on what his future is going to be. You say, preacher, can you do that? It's important responsibility of parents to teach people how to be successful. Proverbs 22:4-6, but humility is the fear of the Lord, our riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are the way of the froward, but he that keepeth his soul from it, far it shall be far from them. What you do, you teach your kids, if you live right, you ain't going to deal with all this other junk sometime. Now, good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. But the truth of the matter is, we don't get in half the stuff some of these other folks get into if we teach our kids to live right and keep their soul right. The problem we got is people that won't confess, won't repent, won't live right, and then wonder why the kids won't do it. Amen. And every generation's going another step out. Come on, church. That's good preaching. But train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. We always made a spiritual application. Teach them the things God, and when they're old, they won't forsake it. But another application, we need to help children find their niche. Discover what they can do and help them be successful in it. Sidebar, don't try to make your kids do something just because you like it. My son played baseball for one reason. I liked it. He was pretty good at it. He just didn't care anything about playing. He walks up to me one day, I ain't playing no more after that. I said, that's okay. He said, but you're the coach. I said, but I won't have to coach no more. I didn't tell him he had to keep playing. I could have. I could have been like some parents, you're going to play ball until you're old enough that you can quit on your own. I didn't see that in his future. I'm glad that he became who he became, still trying to play ball. He was good at what he done playing ball. He probably better built for what he does. I mean, he was good enough when he played baseball. Other coaches were saying, man, why don't you move over here so he can play on my team? He wasn't just good because I was his coach and said he was good. He was a good little ball player. I remember one night at the Barons game, he threw 69 miles an hour on the judge gun. He was 11 years old. That ain't bad. But he didn't want to play ball. He wanted to work, make money, and be successful. And I got out the way and let him work, make money. One day he'll be successful. Hey, I think he's successful right now. He gave me his pickup truck. I'm all proud about that. Oh, I ain't got it yet, but I got the key. Lord. By the way, I'm waiting on y'all. Smile. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Here's how you sum it up. The mortar that holds families together. A meaningful touch, words of affection and love, assuring of value, picturing a glorious future. God is perfect parent who's conveyed to us all the ingredients of his blessings in one verse of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're familiar with the parable of the prodigal son, and I read this the other day. Philip Yancey wrote a book. It's called What's So Amazing About Grace, and I pulled the book out and read this the other day. It reminds me a lot of a young lady I met in New York. This little girl in the story was not happy at home. She didn't like being told what to do. She didn't like rules. So she decided she'd run away. They lived in Michigan in this story, but it's the same story for the young lady in New York. She ran away from home to make her own way. This young lady ended up in Detroit just as bad. She ends up on the street working for a man. Had a nice fancy car, took care of her till she got sick and couldn't work the street anymore, and he threw her out. because the drugs had taken over her life. Nobody wanted her anymore. He wasn't making enough money off of her, so he dumped her. And even though she still managed to work on her own, she still had all kind of problems. And almost everything she made went to every dime that she spent to pay the bills for her drugs. Finally, she decided to call home just to see what would happen. And as is the effect in most cases, every time she called home, all she got was an answering machine, because everybody was gone. Everybody was busy. Life was moving without her. She finally leaves a message. "I'm coming home next week on a bus. I'll be at the bus station at a certain time. If you're not there, I'll understand and I'll move on." When she got there, she walked off the bus thinking she'd walk through the terminal and see if she could find someone. When she opened the door of the terminal, there were 40 members of the family, aunts and uncles and grandmamas and dad, mom. And the sign on the wall, "Welcome home." And she runs to him and starts hugging everybody. And dad said, "We got to hurry. The rest of the people are back at the church. We couldn't bring them all down here." "We're going to have a party for you." It's a great story. And there's a God this morning who is your Father, who loves you so much that he gave his own son that you could have everlasting life. But every story don't end that way. The little girl I met in New York was beat to death by a pimp, thrown in the East River. And at 18 and a half years old, she was buried, because she never made that phone call to really try to get back home. And I really believe there's somebody in this building this morning that God wants to give you the ingredients of life. He wants to come in contact with you. He wants to touch your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you meaning. He wants to give you love. And I believe that if you're here and you're not where you need to be with God, the moment you step in that aisle, a party is going to start in heaven. And the Father is going to see you coming. And he ain't going to worry about where you've been or what you've done. All he's going to know is, "My child is coming home." Father, I thank you for your love and mercy, for the power of your divine grace. I believe you to touch this house with your anointing. Move on us with your power. Father God, have your way in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.